Rockside, can we give a warm welcome to our friends, Dwayne and Tracy Coral?
Good morning. Thank you, Pastor Michelle, and thank you, Rockside Church, for having us. We, like she said, we are Dwayne and Tracy Coral. We are missionaries with Special Touch Ministry. We serve the needs and concerns of individuals with disabilities and their families. In America alone, there are 65 million Americans that have a disability. And in the community around here, around 20% have a disability. And of that 20%, about 80 to 85% don't attend church. And so partnering with the local churches to reach out into the communities around here to reach that 80 to 85% to bring them into the church is critical. And so we are just excited about partnering in your church, partnering with us. And some of the ways that we do that is with trainings. We train the local pastors at different churches all around the United States.
And we get to partner with you guys, not just, we have something that a lot of other missionaries don't get to. We get to stick around. So you're not getting rid of us. You don't get to send us away and we don't come back. And their work is absolutely incredible. And the things that they're doing across the world is incredible. But what we like to say is that if we can learn new languages and new cultures and travel all around the world to tell people about Jesus, we certainly can do it to those who are in our backyards. And so we do that by, like Dwayne said, training, equipping the church, kind of coming in, meeting with your leaders. But also we do that by modeling what we think disability ministry should look like. We get to do that through our home church and our home area, and we do things like respite nights and Bible studies and support groups for parents, and we get to do online support groups, which are things that you could offer to your community through us. There are just endless opportunities to meet the needs of people, because here's the deal. There are 65 million Americans with a disability, but they're attached to a whole lot more. And so when you open the door to not only that person with a disability to attend your church, you open it to the whole family. And it becomes an incredible domino effect that we've watched impact whole families for Jesus. And that's not just one life change, two life change. It's like I said, the domino that keeps going. But one of the things that I usually share a little bit later, but it's so... God brought it to my mind as we were driving here this morning. So we are not just people who serve individuals with disabilities, but we are also parents of a child with a disability. And our Noah, who is 17, somehow we got that old. I'm not sure how. But he, when we first started, so he would have been seven, probably the first time that we came here. So we've been here, I think, two or three different times. One before Pastor Michelle was here. And then the second time we came, we were in the car driving here. And now our Noah will do everything possible to not be in the limelight. Okay. Actually, we are a whole family that says, really, do we have to hold the microphone? But Noah, much so, one time he joined us on stage with his head inside of his sweater. It was fantastic. But on the way here, Noah said, hey, Mom, what are you going to talk about this morning? And I said, and I shared with him what I was going to say. And he said, well, I think you should say. And I don't know if you remember, you were over here, and I remember walking off stage after I said what Noah told me to say. And you had tears in your eyes and you said, that's exactly what our church needed to hear this morning. And when we say that every person should have the opportunity to know Christ, to grow in him, and to serve him with the gifts that he has given, that moment was a moment that a lot of people would have discounted our son because of his disability, but God used him because it is not in our strength anyway. So claiming to do it in that strength actually blocks him from doing his work. So when we get to watch God work through our people in the way that he had fully intended and he had fully planned for and fully purposed for. And so we love what we get to do. People say thank you for what you do, and we say thank you, God, for allowing us to do it. And thank you for being the church and making sure that we're equipped to be able to go out and to do so that we can be a resource to those families and to those individuals so that they can have the opportunity to know Christ. But what we want to show you, we're going to show you real quick, we brought our camp video. So we will actually go in just a couple of weeks, 3 weeks, and we will get to serve Ohioans and beyond, because they come from everywhere, Kentucky, Michigan, Illinois, Indiana, all kinds of places, to come to be ministered to and to be in a community of people who understand and people who can say yes instead of no, you can't. So 1 week out of the year where lives get to be changed because Jesus was made accessible. Now, if you aren't joining us this year, our registration is closed. But next year, if you would love to be a part of it or volunteer, we would love to have you, and we can talk to you about that. Or if you know someone who could attend with us, we'd love to have them. So in a world where individuals with disabilities often go unnoticed, sometimes even hidden, especially if you would have talked 20, 30, 40 years ago, it's vital to recognize the unseen to achieve the impossible, and we serve a God of the impossible. Statistics like Dwayne mentioned, he said over 65 million Americans, that's 1 in 5 people in the world, over a billion. That's not a small population. And if we considered people with disabilities a people group, they would be the largest unreached people group in the world. So 85% of people with disabilities don't attend our churches. But let's look into those spiritual truths about what God actually says about people with disabilities. Genesis 1:27 says, every person is created in the image of God. Do you notice? It doesn't say with disabilities or without disabilities. Because God's word is for everyone. There's no asterisk in the Bible that says except for. It is all inclusive. John 9:1-3 talks about the question of where is this disability rooted? Is it rooted in sin? And the discussion goes on, and the reply is, it is so that the works of God might be displayed. You can go to my absolute favorite piece of scripture, which is 1 Corinthians 12, that talks about the pieces and the parts of the body. And there's a piece of the scripture in there that says the parts that actually seem weaker are indispensable. And indispensable means we can't be without. Psalm 139, which I'm sure a lot of you are familiar with, talks about how we were knitted together in our mother's womb, how all the days were ordained. Now, I don't know about you, but my mom, she was a knitter. I could never do it. My brother, he was like, make a thing. I couldn't do it. But she did. She made all kinds of things, blankets, little pot holder things, all kinds of things with her knitting. But she had to have a plan. There had to be a purpose for what she was intending so that her product would come out with what she had desired to create. God desired to create each one of us. And that means that if he did, then there is a purpose and a plan for each life. No single life is wasted. So when we take all of those scriptures, and those are just a small sampling, there's so very much more. And we consider different types of disabilities. And there are loads. We could never talk about them in 1 to 50 sittings. There's lots. But there are lots that you hear about, like autism or hearing loss or learning disabilities or social and emotional, sensory processing, speech and language, visual impairments, and the list goes on and on. But one thing I want to highlight today is that sometimes we see someone with a disability. So I'll give you an example. A few days ago, my son Noah and I, we were somewhere and he saw someone with Down syndrome. And so he asked about their facial features. And we talked about how a lot of people with Down syndrome are born with very similar facial features. There are things that we can see, right? It's easy when you see someone in a wheelchair or using some kind of assistive device. You know that there is something that they might be dealing with or walking through, and it's visible and it's easy. When we talk about someone with autism, or you talk about someone with ADHD, or you talk about someone with learning disabilities, you don't always see it. When it's someone that is dealing with some mental health issues, you don't always see it. Now, we try to live by, you don't judge a book by its cover, first of all, because it's usually just a sampling. Right? But also, one of the things, if I asked you in this room to come up with one word that described you all, one word, that's all you get to describe yourself, how many of you would struggle to pick one? Almost all of us. Because one thing will never fully explain who we are. The only all-encompassing thing that I can tell you, and this is a decision that we made when Noah was diagnosed, when we were getting ready to walk into Akron Children's to hear the team of neuropsychs tell us his diagnoses, I looked at my husband and I said, Noah's the same Noah when we go in as when we come out, because those labels don't define him, God does. And so our definer is the Creator. That is the only defining I can give you. Autism, huge. Spectrum, so many differences. Not the same story in every person's life. ADHD, the whole deal. We have a very good friend with cerebral palsy, and he lives his life just as normally as you and I would, and works jobs and does all the things and has, but I also have another friend who has cerebral palsy who has to have an aide, who depends on someone to feed and clothe and dress and all of that. So the spectrum is wide. But when it comes to those invisible disabilities, and they're really hard to see, sometimes we either dismiss those people because we don't understand them, or we don't see it. We just think they're weird or different. Hate to tell y'all, we're all weird. We're all different, okay? Some of us maybe more so than others, but the normal is not a thing, right? Normal is not a thing. Oh, the only thing that was normal is where you grew up in your house until then you got friends and you went to their house and you're like, wait a second, you do that like that? You call that what? Right? Everything is abnormal. So perception matters. The way we look at things, the way we approach people, the way that we interact with them. So our perceptions typically drive our actions and our reactions. And misunderstanding those invisible disabilities can lead to an assumption of incompetence. That's a hard one. And that's what happens to my son oftentimes. He knows things about computers. I said to my husband one day, I said, Noah told me this. I think he's making it up. And Dwayne goes, and my husband, when it comes to computers, he's good with computers. And he's like, I don't know. So I went to Google. And Google says Noah's right. Okay, and there are things, and I still don't understand what he was trying to explain, and he will start a program at the technical school next year in cybersecurity, and I have no doubt in the world that he's going to do fantastic things that I could never even think of myself. But because of his anxieties, because of the way that he socially interacts with people, people assume he doesn't know. People assume he doesn't understand. Perception drives our reactions. So I'm going to share a story with you from the Bible of Jesus on the road to Emmaus. And this story occurs right after Christ's resurrection. It's from Luke 24, and we're going to start in verses 13. We're going to work our way through 35. So Luke 24, 13 through 35. So two followers are unaware of Jesus' identity, and they walk with him to Emmaus. In this journey, Jesus opens up the scriptures to them, but they fail to recognize him until one very pivotal moment. So here's what scripture says. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were walking with each other about everything that had happened. And as they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" And they stood still, their faces downcast. And one of them, named Cleopas, asked, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in the days?" "What things?" he asked. Okay, come on. I'm just thinking what is going on in Jesus' head, because this has got to be kind of funny to him, right? They're being kept from recognizing him, and they're kind of asking him like, "Hello, dummy. How do you not know? Everybody knows. How do you not know?" And Jesus is like, "No, what? Tell me about these things," right? And so they go on to say, "About Jesus of Nazareth, they replied. He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all people. And the chief priests and rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one, And then they went on to continue to recount the whole scene to the one that it happened to, the one that knew all the details. He said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow to believe that all..." So here's the part that I just skipped. So not only did they recount what happened, but then they start talking, like he's questioning, "How do you not know? How do you not understand?" Right? And so Jesus goes, he's like, "I'm going Old Testament." I mean, that's not what he said. But he gives them the prophecies. He's telling them what had been foretold. Like, they're acting like surprised. Like, "Oh my, you don't know what this all happened." And Jesus is going, well, yeah, we know. Because this was all laid out for you. This had all been told. And so he's calling them foolish and slow to believe that all the prophets had spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what he had said in the scriptures concerning himself. So the thing is this wasn't the only time of unrecognition that happened in the Bible. So there was a time where Jesus was among the disciples, and they were afraid of him, actually thought he was a ghost. Another time is where he appeared to Mary Magdalene, and she didn't know until she heard his voice. Another time was when I've taught first grade for a really long time, and I really try not to sing the song when I talk about it, but when they were catching the fish and he said, "No, throw your nets out," and so they did, and then they couldn't even pull in the nets, they were so heavy. So there were lots of opportunities and times where Jesus was unseen and then seen. And he chose to reveal himself at pivotal moments. And so what does that have to do with today, with talking about people with disabilities and how we can make that connection? Well, let's go on to the next part in scripture. We're going to go to verse 28. As they approached the village to which they were going off, Jesus continued on as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. And when he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. And then their eyes were opened and they recognized him. And then he disappeared from their sight. Can you imagine? If you knew what you, he didn't know what he had before. They didn't know what they had before them. Jesus, the one who they were just recounting all of these things that had just happened. The Savior of the world, sitting at the same table as them. And in a moment, the realization of who they were and who he was came. So here's what it says. They got up and they returned to Jerusalem. They found the 11 and those with them and assembled together and saying, "It is true. The Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." And then they told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. When Jesus breaks bread, the disciples' eyes are opened. The divine passive indicates God's timing in revealing Jesus' identity. Similarly, the Lord's Supper serves as a physical reminder of the gospel message, revealing Christ to us. Scripture tells us that they were kept from seeing, kept from knowing, and it wasn't until they broke bread. So what does it mean to break bread? Breaking bread can be tied to fellowship. Early Christians regularly gathered for meals that included breaking bread as a way to spend time together. The Lord's Supper, which we just mentioned, that Jesus broke bread and gave it to the disciples saying, "Take, eat, this is my body." This event established the Lord's Supper with that revelation of him as we engage in that. It's also a figure of speech. In ancient times, breaking bread, which we still use today, right? Means in part represented, it was a part of represented the whole. When we get together, we take time to sit down and eat a meal. And breaking bread can literally mean eating food together, right? Jesus broke bread with many different people, including his disciples, tax collectors, and large crowds. So what does this have to do with people with disabilities? Sometimes disabilities can be invisible. And we assume things about those people based on what we have experienced in our life. And sometimes the way we choose to treat them is based on those perceptions, because perceptions cause us to act or react in certain ways. But God sees, God knows, and there's nothing hidden from him. But we have to choose to see past the invisible. We have to choose to see the person. So let me give you some examples with that. And I often use the example of coming here and talking about our son Noah. But that's not the only time that God's used him. Another time we were at a we were probably, I think, one of six or seven missionaries at a church in Cincinnati. And that morning, we were having breakfast before service, and it was going to be a long day, and so someone had brought my son and my kids, they had brought them like notebooks and little pencils to draw with. And while we were sitting in that breakfast, Noah drew the story of the man who was lowered through the roof where Jesus healed him. That morning, the main missionary who was speaking and sharing the message stepped on stage and shared that same story. Those are just two small occurrences where God spoke directly to my son. I know that he struggles on a daily basis. I know that we have intellectual disabilities, and I know that he has an anxiety disorder diagnosis. But that does not disqualify him from God using him and speaking to him and working through him. I know that because I get to see it firsthand. I could have said to him that day in that car, "Oh, that's really nice, Noah. Thanks for sharing that with me." And I could have dismissed him, which is what happens to a lot of people with disabilities. But I chose to trust that God spoke to him. And I chose to trust that God can use him. And he did. Now, another friend that you'll see on the screen, he's way at the bottom. He's got those little headphones on. That's my friend Grayson. And Grayson is diagnosed with autism. I've known Grayson since he was 3 or 4. He is a miracle in the sense that his mom and dad were not able to have babies for a very, very long time. They prayed for over 10 years. And so Grayson is one of two. He's a twin. And so his parents have claimed him as a miracle from day one. And Grayson is diagnosed with autism. But a couple things that you should know about Grayson is that when he was 5, he could read in an 8th grade level and speak 2 languages. So, however, if you meet with Grayson, your social interaction is going to be a bit strained. And he struggles to interact and be in spaces with other kids of his own age. So Grayson attends our home church, but he also comes to our respite nights that we do in our 3-county area. And Grayson was struggling to be within the group because there was noise and there were other sensory things that were kind of just bugging him. And so he had his headphones. We always have his headphones. But he was just having an extra hard day, and I noticed that. But I also knew that Grayson, like, he feels good about the things that he is good at, his giftings. And so I'm standing in front of the whole group, and I'm sharing a message with them, and I see Grayson struggling. And so I looked at him, and I was like, hey, bud, I need someone to help me read the scripture today. And he was like, done. Step on up, and he reads it with all power, with all authority, and with all of everything that would honor God, using him to read him. And guess what? When you see a 5-year-old reading like that, you know what happens to everybody else? They're not paying attention to anything else except for that kid saying that scripture, because what he was doing was quite impressive. And it wasn't because of him. It was because of God. But someone else would have said, please take that unruly child out of this room. He's distracting the rest of the people. And scooch him out. But because we could recognize his gifts and allow God to use him, it changed the whole situation. So next, I'm going to share with you Tyler. Tyler is way over. You can see his name there. Tyler, I have known since he was, probably a baby. We've known Tyler since forever. They were our neighbors down the street, attended the same church. And Tyler, it wasn't until he was about in 1st grade when he was diagnosed with autism. Tyler is, he always, I got to be Tyler's aide in 1st grade. He says, yeah, I didn't like her then. Because I had to make him do all the things he didn't want to do. You know, like write and read, things you're supposed to do in school. But Tyler and my son, our oldest son, Nathan, they're best friends. And they've grown up together, and they have done all the things together. But Tyler has an incredible gift for worship. Tyler can play the drums, he can play guitar, he can play piano, he can sing. He taught my son how to play the drums. So Tyler comes to our getaway, and he helps lead worship. A couple of years ago, after COVID hit, I had COVID, and I was very, very sick. I was not supposed to survive. And when we were supposed to do our getaway, I didn't know that I could do a whole week camp. And so we did a 3-day day camp at our home church, and Tyler led worship there. So here's the thing. When you get to know people for people and not by their labels, it becomes your norm. So Tyler isn't Tyler with autism. Tyler's just Tyler, my son's best friend. And so God had really dropped it in my heart to ask Tyler to share his testimony. But the thing was, we don't talk about Tyler with his autism all the time. Like, it's not the topic of conversation. Tyler's just Tyler. And so I had never said to him, hey, how do you feel about talking about your autism to people? That just hadn't come up. But God was really pressing in. And so I said to Tyler, I went up to Tyler and I was like, hey, Tyler, how do you feel about sharing your testimony? And he was like, let's do it. And he walked up and he was able to talk about how God had given him a godly upbringing in his grandparents and his parents, and then how God had developed his talent for music, and that many times it was questioned, but I have autism, can I? Will I? Will someone allow me to? And then Tyler was able to say, but with God, all things are possible. And do you know what that spoke to that room full of people sitting there with disabilities? If God can use Tyler, then he can use me. And it wasn't because Tyler has some horrible, heartbreaking story. But there's a connection of, you get me. You know my life. You live the way that I live. You've dealt with things. You have people who think about you the way that they've thought about me. And God uses you. And God uses you. And I've seen Tyler make connections because he's traveled with me now to some of our other getaways. We went to Kentucky last year and he led worship in 8 services at a camp there. And he was able to connect in ways that other people would not, because he has a connection that not everybody understands. But many times, Tyler would be dismissed. Tyler would not be allowed. Because you know what? Sometimes Tyler's awkward. Me too. Sometimes Tyler doesn't always, sometimes his prayers sound a little scripted because of his autism. But that does not negate how God uses him. Not one bit. Now, I can tell you of Michael, who's also on that slide. Michael has been a part of everything that we've done, disability ministry, from the very, very beginning. And he is a grumpy old man. Okay, he doesn't let loose and have fun. Okay, and we do a lot of fun things at our camp, so you have a lot of fun. But Michael also has 3 other siblings who have a disability, and out of all of them, Michael's the one who looks out for everybody else, and he carries that responsibility of his siblings, and so he's always watching out for them, and so he doesn't always have fun. And so we always try to, like, Michael's going to have this, he's going to have this caregiver at camp, he's going to hang out with this, we're going to set it up so he can have fun. And so last year, he finally broke through, and he started participating in the activities, and he started having fun, and the picture that you see is up there is Michael, who said, I'm coming out of my shell. Not only am I going to have fun, but I'm going to let God use me. And then he started praying over people who responded to the altar calls. And I can tell you that Michael lives a life where many times he is discounted. He is told that he doesn't understand, that he doesn't get it, that he doesn't. Here's the deal. My worth and my value doesn't come in what I can do. It comes in the creator of the universe. And Michael has the same creator as I do. So his value is not determined by what he can do. It is determined by the God who created him and said he was worth having here. So the last one on this list is Monica. Monica is, I don't even know how to explain her except that she's an incredible human. Monica is the encourager. Like, if you need prayer and you need someone to speak into you, she's coming to you. She's going to tell you how awesome you are. And she's also going to speak scripture over you. She's going to pray over you. And one of the things that she does is she actually sends cards to all of the missionary kids that are connected to Ohio and anybody else she can get her hands on. And she remembers my kids' birthdays and she checks in on them and she makes sure that they know that they matter. But 2 years ago at our getaway, one of the staff members who was volunteering that year, he was in a struggle. And the struggle was, I think God's calling me into this ministry, but I'm not sure how to step into it. I'm not sure what that looks like. And I'm actually real afraid. And on day one, Monica came up to me and she said, listen, I'm not just going to speak encouragement to people. I'm writing them letters. And so she wrote letters to the different staff members. And in that letter, she had no idea of this particular staff person's situation. And she, the letter said, "You are called." And then she laid out the scriptures to back up what she said that were also scriptures that had been laid in the heart of this person. Tell me that God was not using her. We cannot discount people when God is in their midst, when he is working in their life. But first, we have to make him accessible. We have to open our doors. We have to help them to know that they are valued and that they belonged, that they belong in our churches, belong as a part of the body of Christ. Now, there's one particular person that I don't have on this list, and because this experience actually happened a week ago. I was speaking at a camp in Kentucky for people with disabilities, and there is a young lady, she's 16, her name is Grace. And Grace was, I'm dipping my feet in the pool, and Grace is swimming next to me. And I said, "Hey, Grace, tell me about your family." And she goes through all the different things about her family. She was in foster care. She is now with a family that has adopted her and is full of other siblings that have been adopted. And so she's telling me about them. And then all of a sudden, she gets real quiet. And then she says, "I want to be baptized." And my heart just went, "We can do that." And so I started talking to her about what that looked like. I said, "You know, does your family have a church? You know, is that something you want to do at your church? Is that something you want to talk about doing while you're here?" And we went through the whole thing. And all reasonings aside, we were not able to do the baptism while we were there. But I said to her, and it became this really God-ordained conversation. I said, when I asked her about her church, she said, "Well, we don't really go to church." And then so she's like, "I would rather do it here if we could, because I don't know that I'll get to do that." And so we talk about it, and I talked about with the coordinator of that camp. And so what we landed on is Grace is also coming to our camp in Ohio. Her family's from Ohio. We can invite them to come witness her being baptized. Tell me that God is not going to use that situation. Every time I saw that young lady, she had her Bible in her hand and she was reading scriptures the whole week. And then she came up to me later that week and she said, I don't know why and I don't understand it, but when I come to services, when I'm sitting here, when I'm worshiping, she's like, I just want to cry. And then we talked about the Holy Spirit and how God is moving and how it feels certain ways. And sometimes that's not just sadness. That's not just whatever. Those are emotions that he's drawing up and out. And I am so excited for what God is going to do in her life. But I know that she's going to come across people that are going to tell her she's not enough, that she doesn't belong, that maybe God can't use her. But we need to choose to sit at the table. First of all, we need to invite to the table. We need to make sure our table is open. We need to take the time to get to know people. And then we get to help deploy them to do what God has called them to do once we have opened that door to them. And that is breaking the bread. That is seeing the people. That is looking past the disability and knowing that people are people because God created them. And if he has, and I can tell you because I've been on this, first of all, many people will ask about healing when it comes to people with disabilities. First of all, I am a recipient of God's healing, and I don't deny it, not one bit, but there is a greater need. And that greater need is salvation. And then God can do whatever he wants through the rest of that story. So we want to make sure that the doors of our churches are opened. When your video said this morning, a place where you can belong. Because that is a heart's desire for every single person. to know that they belong, because if there is breath in their lungs, they have purpose. And it is because of the God who created them with the intention of that purpose. And we get to do that through our open doors, through our open access to not just a physically accessible building, but a socially and spiritually accessible place where we can say, God can use you. You have a place. You belong, not because of anything, but because God said that you are indispensable. And this body of Christ is not whole without you. And that is what we get to do and be as the church. So my challenge to you, first of all, you all have been a partner to us for 10 years. For 10 years, my husband and I have been doing this. And we have been depending upon churches just like yours to allow us the access to do this. So you have already begun in that partnership. But as you go, it's not just about this church building. It's about the communities and the school and the grocery store and the backyard and your neighbors and the people that you encounter. And it's not about having all the answers, because the range of disability is so wide. But if you can look somebody in the face and say to them, I don't know all the things, but we're going to figure it out together. We're going to walk this out together. This morning, there's a little guy at my home church. Our kids, as they've gotten older, they don't travel with us because they have responsibilities and things that they have committed to as well. And this morning, I got a picture. There's a little guy that's been coming to our church and behaviorally has been struggling. So much so that when it becomes a safety factor, we do have to call the parents. And so we've had to the last two times he's been in attendance with us. And so I've said to that parent, please know, number one, we love this child. We want him to come back, but we want him to stay safe. And so we set that up and we make sure that that is communicated. And so this morning he came back to church. And so the buddies stepped into place and we prayed big prayers this morning. And I got a picture of him sitting in the lap of my daughter with the greatest smile on his face. And I go, every Sunday isn't perfect. And we all don't have it all figured out all the time. But what God can do in those minutes where we communicated that love and we shared that love will change lives forever. It's not an easy ministry. It's not. But none of them are. None of them are. But if you ask every single pastor and volunteer if it was worth it, they're going to say yes, because it is. Because of the God of the universe said, breathed it into existence, said that they were worth it. So we get to come alongside of him and to make sure that his message is delivered. And that we get to share that. So I challenge you for that today.